This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on the evolving situation in Syria and its implications for West Asia. The participants are Anil Kumar Trigunayath, former ambassador, and Prasar Bharati special correspondent Dubai, Vinod Kumar. Moderator is Manas Pratim Bhuyan, journalist.
Ambassador Trigunayath, the world has witnessed a major development in West Asia today, as Syria's rebel forces have announced liberating Damascus following their surprise offensive across the nation in the last few days. It has culminated in capturing of Damascus. So effectively, it has ended the 5 decades of Ba'ath rule in Syria. How do you see the developments in the context of West Asia as well as the world?
Well, I think that House of Assad has fallen in a dramatic manner. And for which, of course, apart from the external actors, his own policies of the past nearly 10 years are responsible. 90% of the Syrians who are below the poverty line, 13 million are outside, who are the refugees. The country has been just trying to survive, essentially. Assad regime survived because of support from Russia and Iran. And they did not address the issues. They did not try to bridge differences with the opposition. And now that Russia is involved in the Ukrainian war and embattled there, and Iran itself is having major problems, its proxies like Hezbollah and Hamas are all decimated. Iran itself is not in a position to intervene effectively. And therefore, what we have seen is that gap which has occurred, while the Hayat al-Sham have been working closely with other actors, and the Turkey has been trying to find a major role in it, which it always wanted, and wanted to decimate the Kurdish groups there, except that it has supported the STS and others. And they have been very unhappy with the Assad regime. So all these factors helped, I would say, the dislodging the regime and effecting the regime change here. Of course, its implications will depend on how things proceed henceforth, because if they knew government, whichever happens now, if it is kind of a national government, if they are able to find a power sharing formula, they are supported by the international community in providing aid and assistance, then only it's possible, because none of them have the governance, the expertise in governance, be able to govern effectively. But the people are ecstatic today, mostly, as one has seen. The country also has 10% Christians and 10% Alawites and 5 to 10% Druze and other communities. So the communal harmony, whether it survive or it will be the Sunni factor which will prevail, that remains to be seen. Also, the most important thing in my view is that STS has been a proscribed organization. Even Jilani, you know, himself has a $10 million booty or bounty over him by the Americans, who are now have been supporting him, in fact, to a great extent. And therefore, we have to see how it eventually plays out. Russia and Iran, for whom Syria was extremely important, are no longer going to have that same kind of an advantage in the area. Iran would be the biggest sufferer in that region in terms of its power projection. And therefore, we have to see how it eventually plays out. But if we have, of course, Israel is yet another factor which is occupying the Golan Heights. And there are reports that Israelis have also beefed up their security and tried to breach the border. So if there is stability somehow, which looks very unlikely at this stage, we could see a redemption of the situation. If not, then we are going to have major civil war continuing. And that would be a bigger disaster for the region as well.
So, Ambassador Trigunayath, I would like to also have your view about what is the bigger message actually when you say that, in fact, Mr. Assad's regime was very strongly supported by Iran and Russia. And in his collapse, do you see a bigger message to Russia and Iran also from the West? Or, do you think the West had in some way extended tactical support to the rebels? Or, how could they actually overthrow this Assad regime in such a lightning speed?
You know, Manash, it is not something that is very peculiar. You have seen what happened to Taliban. We have seen what happened to Bangladesh. When people rise, when you have an unhappy people, you have a ready constituency who will rise against any. And when the people rise against the regimes, it becomes increasingly difficult. So this is sort of an Arab Spring's final curtain, which has been drawn down this time. I mean, you know, in 2011, the Americans had been trying very hard to dislodge this regime. Arab countries were not happy. They were also wanting to remove Saddam Assad. But Assad only survived because of the support from the Russians, you know, and was able to take large part of the territory. But the Russians and the Iranians are no longer in a position to carry on, because this war with Israel for the last 14 months and Russia's war for 3.5 years with Ukraine have tested their total limits. And they are not in a position to intervene immediately or effectively in a way that they would want. Secondly, as you know, only in Doha 2 days ago, yesterday in fact, the foreign ministers of Russia, Turkey and Iran met, and they were trying to somehow find a way that there could be less violence, greater dialogue, so that some kind of a stability could come about. But so it is not uncommon that these things happen. This has happened in recent past in our neighborhood and elsewhere. We have seen how things pan out. This is like a fountain, you know. There's a unfulfilled desires of the people. I mean, one could see those reports that are coming out from there is that ordinary people are really very happy about it. They don't know what will happen tomorrow. I was ambassador in Libya and I have seen that what has happened to Libya in this kind of situation when you know unruly system prevails. Unless they have a game plan. On the other hand, Americans would definitely be very happy because their desire to dislodge Assad and to reduce the Russian and Iranian influence there has succeeded eventually. This time, they may have given some technical assistance, no doubt about it. But the speed with which all these cards played out, I think, is a remarkable event that has happened. But it is in continuation of what's been happening elsewhere.
We have Prasar Bharati, Dubai correspondent, Mr. Vinod Kumar also with us. Mr. Kumar, what is the overall situation in Syria and how the evolving situation in the country will impact the already fragile situation in West Asia?
The situation in Syria carried forward in a blitzkrieg kind of speed. President Bashar al-Assad has fled the country after 13 years of civil war. And the Prime Minister, Mohammed al-Jalali, has expressed his readiness to ensure continuity of the governance amidst this upheaval that is happening. The development which we are seeing today comes just after 12 days after the Islamist militant group HTS, and they have several other allied factions like SNA, launched a major offensive in the northwest, the Idlib area of Syria. After capturing major cities like Aleppo, Homs, now Damascus also has fallen. This Idlib province that I was mentioning, which was a stronghold of this HTS, remained a contested stronghold where the government, Syria and HTS has sought to regain control. In 2020, a Turkey-Russia brokered ceasefire temporarily halted the government's offensive in the region, but sporadic fighting has always persisted. And now there is a master game strategy on this. Russia is completely preoccupied in this military offensive in Ukraine, and Israel's attack on Hezbollah has withered Hezbollah's power, which was one of the main supporters for Bashar-led regime. So, and Iran has also faced heat from this Israel, Hezbollah and Gaza war. So this was one tactical move by the HTS. The blitzkrieg effect, they were able to capture control on Damascus. We must remember, just like as Ambassador has told, this all started as a peaceful pro-democracy uprising against Assad in 2011. And this is like a final curtain or the conclusion of this Arab Spring that happened like 13 years back. And now regarding the implication, it's not only threatens the fundamental fabric of Syria, but also it has the potential to reshape the geopolitical landscape, the entire West Asia. And it can potentially, again, destabilize. It can go the Myanmar way, or it can lead to a civil war. And it definitely will extend beyond Syria's border. The most important party that is affected might be Iran. The potential loss of Syria, a strategic setback. Syria has always served as Iran's vital land bridge connecting to Lebanon. Through the land bridge, they transport military personnel, weapons for their proxy Hezbollah. And this is an essential component of Iran's the axis of resistance. The fall of these key cities that we earlier mentioned may severely disrupt these Iranian supply routes. And potentially, without the Iranian support, Hezbollah may not exist in its current power. It's already the top brass is eliminated by Israel. So, yes, there is a definite chance that Hezbollah's activity may be reduced and Israel can take complete control of their occupied territories in Golan Heights. Another key player is Turkey. For Turkey, this challenge is really complex, which backs the Syrian National Army in the West. but it has issues with the Houthis-left Syrian defense forces on the east, on the northeast. America is backing them. So Ankara has to balance its support for the opposition forces, on the Kurdish and the SNA here on the west, as well as around 3.1 million Syrian refugees, which has gone to Turkey over the last many years. For the Arab states, Saudi Arabia and UAE, they were on the mission to rehabilitate Assad regime. They had already secured Syria's readmission to the Arab League in 2023. Now they will face the prospect of an Islamic-led government in Damascus. While Assad's exile and reduction in Iran's regional influence is a welcome move, now Russia has also have a geopolitical disadvantage in the global arena. Unlike other neighboring countries, Russia's target mission in Syria was a bit different. It had to showcase the power. Only time will tell what exactly will pan out. But definitely, this has got a destabilizing effect on the overall region.
Ambassador Chaganayat, the rebels claim that Bashar al-Assad has fled Damascus. Do you think Assad will make any comeback in future with help of his friends in Russia and Iran? And what will be the implications for the current situation in Syria on the Israel-Hamas fight in Gaza?
I think that chances of Assad coming back to power are very bleak. Because you can come back to power when you have a very big constituency of people supporting you somehow or the other. People have seen the 50 years of the Assad regime and 14 years of the current president Assad. I doubt very much that he'll be able to stage a comeback. It'll be very difficult to do so for him. But a lot will depend also on exactly how going forward the current players, as was mentioned, SNA, SDF, HTS and all these people and the existing groups are going to readjust to the new reality and form some kind of a political compromise. Of course, now the international community will have to play a much greater role. Secondly, as was mentioned by my colleague from Dubai, the fact remains is that this HTS, and you know this Jolani was a lieutenant of Baghdadi, of the ISIS. He is also so that he carries that tag on him, even though he has tried to dissociate through Jabhat al-Nusra and other groups, changing mutation. But at the end of the day, their fundamental philosophy remains highly conservative, a very Islamic fundamentalist group, which the Arab countries themselves today do not like. And therefore, that is going to be a major challenge going forward. And of course, as far as Israel is concerned, I mean, Israel-Hamas war is continuing on its own. Israel has shown that with the complete support of the United States, it can continue and take on nearly all the major actors in this war. The biggest loser has been Iran. For example, its major proxies, and which used to give Iran the asymmetric advantage, whether it is Hezbollah or the Hamas, or to great extent even Houthis, or Kataib Hezbollah in Iraq. They all are under tremendous stress. They have been decimated. And that is the reason today Iran is unable to support and is losing a very major logistical route. So that is something that's going to be there. And Hezbollah will be also isolated to a great extent in that sense. So what we are seeing today is that Russia would come out weaker after this war with the Russia-Ukraine war. That would be another situation. Iran itself is having its domestic problems. But let us not jump the gun, because it is quite possible that this Jolani group or the others also, at the end of the day, when the question of Israel comes, they are into a very different mold altogether. So we do not know exactly how eventually there are no permanent enemies or friends, as we have seen even in the Syrian landscape. So we'll have to really wait and watch for some more time how they are planning to go forward. There are so many, you know, peels in this fruit which will have to be unpeeled to be understood exactly how it's playing out.
Ambassador Chaganayat, Mr. Kumar, thank you so very much for giving a detailed perspective on the unexpected but very quick developments that we have witnessed in Syria this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Manas.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on the evolving situation in Syria and its implications for West Asia. The participants were Anil Kumar Trigunayat, former ambassador, and Prasar Bharati special correspondent Dubai, Vinod Kumar. Moderator was Manas Pratim Bhuyan, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.